the new land where we are going. That's this country, friends. And so, he brought a final admonition to the people before he unloaded those four boatloads of Puritans, quoting the scripture, and I want to share it with you now. He said, "Beloved, there is now set before us life and good, death and evil, in that we are commanded this day to love the Lord our God and to love one another, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His laws and the articles of our covenant with Him, that our God may bless us in the land whither we go to possess it. But if our hearts shall turn away so that we will not obey, but shall be seduced and worship other gods, our pleasures and profits, we shall surely perish out of the good land. Therefore, let us choose life, that we and our seed may live, by obeying His voice and cleaving to Him, for He is our life and our prosperity. If we want to see the flame of freedom, freedom's holy light, begin to shine brightly across the seven seas and the seven continents again, it's going to begin with you and with me as we make these important choices for such a time as this." Thanks for joining us. I want to urge you to get a copy of my book, Renewing the Soul of America. You'll find John Winthrop's entire model of Christian charity in the appendix of the book. It is critical for our understanding. This is a $17 book endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders, and your gift of only $10 to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands today. What a book for such a time as this. A book filled with reality, but also with huge gulps of hope. So, call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, or get it on our website, saveus.org, renewing the soul of America, one person at a time, beginning with you. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supportive.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lauren Davis. And Lauren's an evangelist has a number of programs over in China, pardon me, over in Africa, at various campaigns over there, evangelical campaigns or crusades, and he is back home just for a short period of time. I hope maybe he'll tell us what's happening in Africa, but I think he wants to talk to us also about what's really going on in America, what's really going on in the world from a spiritual and political point of view. So, Lauren, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. It's an honor to be with you tonight, and I like the name of your program, Radio Liberty. And, you know, coming up on the 4th of July, which is about liberty, about freedom, I think this is the focus for everyone. And, in fact, if people will be interested in our website to learn more about it, it's laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N-Davis.com. So, Dr. Stan, related to 4th of July and liberty, I would like to speak with God's put on my heart. Why is freedom collapsing?
Lauren, are you on a speaker phone? Are you on just a regular hardline phone? Because it sounds a little harsh.
No, I am on a cell phone because my regular phone, a storm passed through and totally knocked that phone out.
All right. We'll go ahead and we'll make the best we can with it. You go right ahead.
Okay, my apologies, but nothing I could do about that. Freedom and prosperity are rapidly eroding in America. We have tea parties springing up everywhere and conservative talk shows in response to this impending threat. And many people are fighting politically to save our freedom and prosperity, and that's a good thing. But the Bible and history give many examples of how great nations lost their freedom and prosperity. One biblical example is found in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah graphically tells why and how the Israelites lost their freedom and prosperity and went into Babylonian captivity. So God spoke to Jeremiah, the word of the Lord, telling the Israelites that if they would obey God, if they would keep his commandments, they would not spiritually intermingle with the heathen, that God would protect them and prosper them. In Deuteronomy 28:11 is exactly what the Lord said. He said, and the Lord, you know, if you keep my commandments, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground. And Deuteronomy 28:7, it says, the Lord shall smite your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way, and they shall flee seven ways. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 16, it lists all the blessings that God said he would bring on them if, it was conditional, if they kept his commandments. So initially, the Israelites obeyed God, and they enjoyed freedom and prosperity and a great abundance.
Well, of course, I'm sure you're making the analogy to what's going on in America, because, of course, this country has turned against God. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken the prayer out of our schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out of our schools. We're the greatest purveyor and source of pornography anywhere in the world. Our television programs are destroying morality throughout the world, and I don't see that God is going to bless this country if it withdraws blessing from Israel. It certainly withdrawn from America. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Lauren Davis as we analyze what's really going on, not only in America, but throughout the world, and certainly how this correlates really with the history of the past. God withdrew his blessing from Israel, and we've got to withdraw it from America. Go right ahead, Lauren.
All right. When God said he would bless them if he kept his commandments, what commandments was he talking about? Well, basically, God was talking about keeping the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus 20, verse 3 to 16. And here are the basic Ten Commandments that God said if you kept them, he would bless and protect you. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before him. Then thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, that's related to murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness, that is lying. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his possessions. And honor your father and mother. And there were other things that God forbid also, including the practice of witchcraft and getting drunk. Now, Jeremiah warned the Israelites, if they did not keep God's commandments, they would lose their freedom and their prosperity and become slaves in Babylon. In fact, Jeremiah 20, verse 5 says, he says, I'll deliver all the strength of this city and the labors and all your precious things and treasures, and I will give them to the hand of your enemies, and they shall spoil you and take them and carry them into Babylon. And despite the warning that God gave to Israel through Jeremiah, after God had prospered and protected the Israelites in an unprecedented way, they went cold towards him and became proud and worshiped the work of their own hands. They intermarried with the pagans. They forgot God and his commandments. They assimilated with the pagans, adapting their dress, their music, customs, culture, and even mixed the pagans' religion with their own. So it came to a point that there was little difference between the Israelites and the pagans. In Psalms 106, verse 35, it graphically describes this. It says they mingled among the heathen. That's God's people, mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Now, not only did they learn their works, but the Israelites then corrupted the house of the Lord. Before they went into slavery in Babylon, first, the Israelites became spiritually corrupted by false prophets and went cold towards God. In fact, Jeremiah 5:31 describes what happened to the prophets in Israel. It says, their prophets prophesied falsely, and their priests bore rule by their means, and my people loved to have it so. So, you know, it's very interesting here. It says that their prophets prophesied falsely, and the people loved to have it so. It's like they had a religious game going. The people were not interested in...
Hold that thought. We're going to be bringing our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, well, Lauren, of course, what I really think our listeners here would like to hear is really what's going on over in Africa, because certainly I agree with you, there's a similarity between what happened to the children of Israel and what's going on in America today, but certainly what is going on over in Africa, and what sort of response are you getting to your crusades over there?
Well, you know, in Africa and in Kenya, in fact, in Congo, it has been in war, you know, tribal warfare for about 5 years, and 5 million people have been killed in 5 years in Congo. My wife and I have held 7 major crusades in the Congo, and you can see some pictures of it on our website, laurendavis.com, L-O-R-E-N-Davis.com, and massive crowds, and the people really crying out to the Lord. But because of so much fighting in the Congo, you know, of course, with it, comes starvation, it comes famine, and so it is just a really heart-wrenching thing happening there. In Kenya also, you know, they had this what they call clash 2-3 years ago in Kenya. Well, the news over here said 1,000 people died in the clashes in Kenya, but that's not the truth. The reality is on the ground, and, you know, we live in Kenya much of the time. That's our base. Over 20,000 people died in the conflict there in Kenya, and 10,000 missing. So realistically, about 30,000 people were killed in that conflict in Kenya. Few people really, you know, that news has not really gotten out.
Well, isn't the gentleman who was really responsible for a lot of this death and violence over there, isn't he related to President Obama? Isn't this his cousin or something? Because I know that President Obama, when he was a senator, was over there, you know, getting involved in the political activities in Kenya and backing this man who lost the election and then contested it. There was no question he lost the election, but he was encouraged to go ahead and just stir up violence and death and destruction until he eventually was given some sort of a post in government. Isn't he directly related to President Obama?
Yes.
What is his relationship? Is he a cousin or what?
Well, a cousin.
Okay.
He claims to be first cousin. Mm-hmm. And now the situation in Kenya, and to also the cousin that, you know, Raila, he had an MOU with the Muslims that if he was elected, he would bring Sharia law into Kenya. Also, that they would stop building churches, you know, on the coast, which had been predominantly Islamic. They'd stop building churches over there. They would stop any religious TV or radio broadcasting in Kenya, and you know, change and actually dictate. The Muslims would dictate the law. And the interesting thing, Dr. Stan, 80% of the people of Kenya prefer to be Christian in one way or another. And yet, when it came down to politics, that the Christians, professing Christians on both sides, you know, they lined up politically. It did not matter. And also tribally, and that lined them up politically. And so what we had over there is Christian killing Christians over there, over politics. So, you know, people look at Africa and the suffering, and there is tremendous suffering and tragedy in Africa, but it has been going an ongoing thing. But I think it comes back to basically what I'm talking about here, that, you know, the God promised to bless if they kept his commandments, but he said there would be a curse come on the people if they did not keep the commandments. So Africa really has been under a curse. It's not the curse of Ham, because you look in Psalms and other places, Ham actually was not African, it was North African, it was the Egyptian. It was the son of Ham, actually it was Canaan, it was the Canaanites, is who the curse was spoken to. So it was not the Africans. So it's not the curse of Ham on the black man that has brought, you know, such hell. But you, for example, you know, what's going on over there is you have constant tribal warfare. I mean, it's going on now. It just actually like hundreds or thousands of years ago. The tribes, you know, and they're cattle rustling, they're stealing, and, you know, it's not like you have the big fenced in areas here, but they come steal their cattle, their goats, their camels, whatever they had, and they burn down the huts and they kill the men, women, and children. Actually, my wife and I got caught in one of those raids one time. We'd flown our plane, actually up into northern Kenya, and we were building churches deep in villages out there. So we'd flown up there at 4 o'clock. We were staying in tents, and we'd sent our team out. Well, about 4 or 5 in the morning, all hell broke loose, and the raiders, about 500 raiders came, and they had AK-47s and everything else, and they were stealing cows and goats, camels, everything. And in fact, they knew that we were up there because we were well known. They were yelling, eat Lauren's church. We're taking the cows. I really, you know, that really upset me, and I prayed, and actually God intervened. But 18 people were killed, and women, children, old people, babies, and that. So what is happening in Kenya? You know, where there is so much professing Christianity over there, and yet, when it comes down to issues, even with one side, you know, lining up with the Muslims, each side lined it up with their tribe more, not as Christian brothers. They weren't looking at themselves as Christian brothers, but as tribal brothers or whatever, and they overlooked any other thing. So basically, the curse has come on Kenya, and the curse has come on Africa, because they're breaking the commandments of God. I mean, they say in Africa, in Kenya, that Christianity is 1,000 miles wide and it's an inch deep. For example, Dr. Stanton, in Kenya, which is supposed to be 80% Christian, they had, I know a few years back, I'm not sure the statistic right now, but 800 people were dying every day of HIV in Kenya. 800 people every day. I have been in what we'd call mortuaries here, but they just stack the bodies right on top of each other. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And, you know, there was so much death going on there. But the main way, of course, of getting HIV is through adultery. Now, you know, of course, there's bad needles and there's, you know, blood transfusions, other things. But the main way of doing it. And so what you have so many professing Christians, you know, who are breaking the commandments of God. And so it's bringing this curse. And, you know, I am against HIV, and I'm against helping people with AIDS. But the reality is, you know, speaking of Africa and us wanting to help them, we can get all the medicines that we can and we should, but until the people really get right with the Lord and start keeping God's commandments, the curse is just on there, and the curse brings death.
Well, it's really one of the tragic areas, and we lived in Africa for a time, and it's really a wonderful country, and the people there are wonderful, but it is their culture. Certainly, living in South Africa, there were 8 different tribes, and every one of them hated every other tribe. It was the most amazing thing, and even though they were nominal Christians, there's this intense tribal hatred until those people really have a personal relationship with our Lord, not simply a superficial one, but where their lives are really transformed, and they let Christ direct their lives. Nothing's going to change in Africa.
Yes, yes, that's right. Well, but see, it's like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 5:31 that the prophets prophesied falsely, and my people love to have it so. What they did is the prophets were prophesying blessings to the people who were breaking God's commandments and living wicked lives. And they never warned them of the consequences of their sins, what would happen. And this basically is what has happened, you know, with so many of the ministries in Africa, in Kenya, is they have they just speak blessing and blessing. Hardly anything is ever preached about against sin, about keeping God's commandments. I mean, it's virtually unheard of. And so what it does is people believe that they as long as they accept Jesus, you know, anything they do is okay, and they're going to go to heaven. And so by doing this, it has really opened the door for the curse. And they pray, but and God answers prayer. But, you know, he lays down some commandments. He says, if you do what I tell you, the blessing will come upon you. If you don't. And so a problem that we've had, and we are dealing with it in Africa, is that, you know, people call themselves Christians, and this is not everybody, and I don't want anybody to think that. It's not everybody, but a strong percentage, they call themselves Christians, but they really live in very ungodly lives. And I think the same thing has happened in America, you know? Over 80% of the people in this country are professing Christians, and you wonder how could a country with, you know, we have churches on every street corner. We have Christian TV, Christian radio. And with all of this proliferation of these things, you wonder how in the world could America get in such moral condition that it's in today with so much, you know, what is called Christianity.
Well, I think in many respects, I speak in many respects that the ministers hold a large part of the blame for this, because they've not encouraged the people to become involved. They've not explained to them the true spiritual nature of the battle that we're engaged in. There's not probably 1 in 1,000 Americans who know that the reason they took God and prayer out of our schools was because the Masons controlled the Supreme Court. But I believe that the wicked people took over our seminaries here many years ago and taught the ministers simply just to talk about how God loves everybody, and all they have to do is go to church on a regular basis and love God. God will love them. But they have no responsibility for involvement. And that's how great nations are lost, when the good people, the Christians in this nation, will not stand up for righteousness.
Absolutely. In Numbers 19, verse 20, it says they defiled the sanctuary. And in Joshua 22:19, it says they built an altar to Baal beside the altar of the Lord. And so what we...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927? That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
On in Zimbabwe, we get terrible stories about the number of people who fled Zimbabwe. Sounds like almost half the population has left, and certainly the terrible poverty and, you know, just the total brutality of the government that the United States has financed since we installed Mugabe back in 1980, and we keep giving him humanitarian aid. Of course, we say, oh, he's just a terrible guy. He really should be allowed, you know, democratic elections. But we give him humanitarian aid that all goes to the criminal element within the military and the police that are terrorizing the people. And Mugabe lives in palatial splendor. The people live in abject poverty and totally financed by the United States and certainly by our good friends in Great Britain. And we could certainly put an embargo on them, their diamonds, their copper. We could cut off all trade like we did with South Africa when we wanted to bring the ANC, the African National Communist Conference, to power. We don't do that. We leave Mugabe in power. What is happening in Zimbabwe today?
Well, there's runaway inflation over there. Because, you know, instead of functioning now, you know, on sound economic system, they're just printing money. And so, you know, and also they have broken down the foundation of that country's economics with the farmers. And, you know, there were the white farmers that were, they were the big producers of the land, but then they divided up their land. And I'm sure not defending colonization by any means, but Mugabe took the farmers' lands, and many of the farmers who have been there for, you know, their families have been there for, oh, who knows how long. You know, I mean, they were just Rhodesians and some Zimbabweans. But then they divided all their farms up and gave it to the people. Well, the people don't know how to run farms. They have little plots. And so they're not producing. They are not producing, you know, like it was producing. Zimbabwe before had enough to feed its own people and to feed others around them. It was very lush, very, very plentiful. But because of the economic policies at the top that broke down, and so trying to sustain this thing, then Mugabe, he has gone to just printing money. And so, I think you could pay, like all, about a million for a loaf of bread over there now. It's just unbelievable. I've been in, you know, Congo, and I've seen the same thing. It was just thousands and thousands, you know, of their money just, you know, to buy a little something from the grocery store. Just the value of money is gone. And so when a country like Zimbabwe does not operate on sound financial principles and overspend, you know, when they don't have the money, it has crushed that, and the people, it brings chaos to the whole country. The people are broken. It was prosperous before. And understand, you know, looking at Zimbabwe, I've thought about that in America many times. It looks like we are following the pathway of African economics, that we are doing the very same thing that they did, and we're spending money that we don't have, getting deeper and deeper in debt, printing funds, and so, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, and I'm talking about history repeating itself, there are certain things you do that bring blessing, and there are certain things you do that bring the curse. But any person who, you know, is in debt, you don't spend more money to get out of debt. But that's exactly what happened in Zimbabwe, and it looks like that's what's happening here. And so, you know, the results, the end results, you know, could be the very same thing. If you do the same thing, you're going to get the same result every time.
Well, I think that our leaders know exactly what they're doing. After all, they're the ones who put Mugabe in power over there. They've kept him in power. He's destroyed that nation, and he did it in large part by overspending and destroying the productive capacity. And that's exactly what they're doing here. They're in the process of taking over control of the automotive industry and certainly the farming industry and shutting off their water so they can't function here in California. And certainly they are, you know, certainly putting out all sorts of the seeds that our crops are not accepted. We can't send our corn and soybeans and cotton seed oil and canola oil over to Europe. They won't accept it because it's genetically modified. Now they're going to genetically modify our rice so we won't be able to export it. Other countries can't have it. And so this is going to eventually destroy our farming industry. It's almost as if there were people in America who want to destroy our nation. We're the greatest debtor nation the world has ever seen. And we're headed towards the worst depression since the 1300s. And the average American has no idea what's going on. Perhaps it really is true that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And when God brings his judgment, they're going to have to bear it.
Well, you know,
hold that thought.
We're in debt. We're so deeply in debt to China. This is a communist and an atheistic country.
Hold just a moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go right ahead, Lauren.
All right, this is Lauren Davis. If you want to look at my website to see our work in Africa, it's laurendavis.com, laurendavis.com. You know, another thing that happened, and I want to parallel what happened to the Israelites with Africa and with America, but when the Israelites went into slavery into Babylon, okay, they had a guaranteed income, guaranteed economic equality, but that translated into everybody receiving slave wages. And so, like in Zimbabwe, as well as the Israelites in Assyria, they had no freedom of thought, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, no freedom to do or choose the kind of business they wanted to, no freedom to prosper. It was a slave society, and it demanded uniformity and conformity to the king and his mores, and he was totally a tyrannical dictatorship. He was against Jehovah God. He was against his laws. And so, you know, God's people were then living, you know, under a leader who was against the laws of God. But the children, you know, the children who are born in a slave society, and even the Israelites born in Babylon, that's all they knew. They didn't know firsthand the miracles of God. God was just, Jehovah was just the God of their parents and ancestors. But it was their parents' religions, not their own. They didn't know God personally. They didn't believe his word. In their minds, spiritually, they had evolved to a higher level of political correctness. and they had been educated by the atheistic educational institutions of Babylon. Dressed like them, this is the Israelites' children. Talked like them, were caught up with the Babylonians' entertainment system, became immoral like them. Their culture became the Israelites' culture, and none of them now regarded God's commandments anymore. So the Israelites, God's people, living in slavery, now had no control over their own lives or the lives of their children. They had all been inoculated against the Word of God. And I think, wow, this is, you know, in Zimbabwe, that freedom of speech is not there. And I think, you know, this really parallels so much to what's happening in our country today. You know, we have so much Christianity here. I mean, churches on every street corner, but there's so much doctrinal confusion. In today's Christianity, it seems like it has no immoral impact on society. And the same thing is with Africa.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lauren Davis. Lauren, would you like to get out your website one more time for our listeners and how they can get in touch with your ministry?
Yes. Yes, our website is laurendavis.com, laurendavis.com. Our email address is combineharvesting.com. Combineharvesting@hotmail.com. Combineharvesting@hotmail.com. That is a way you can get in touch with us. And we've also been doing some major crusades in India, some very large crusades in India. We've built 270 churches in villages now in Africa, unreached villages, and they're also using these churches to educate the children.
Well, I think that's really wonderful. And so what sort of response are you getting in your crusades in India?
Well, in my last, I was there about 2.5 or 3 months ago. And in fact, I've just started getting to India, for I've been there twice now. But our last crusade that we had there, you know, of course, the paganism is very, very strong. They worship 300 million gods. There's idols everywhere. There's Hindu priests. People are kneeling before those idols, praying to them. It's something. But we went right in the middle of that thing. But the field that we were in, they said it would hold 1 million people standing. Crowd, and we had two-thirds of the field was full. So, I mean, you couldn't count that many people, so I don't know. But there's a picture on our website, laurendavis.com, of that. But it was, and the people really cried out to the Lord. In fact, we had an incident, second night of the crusade in India, that we had two security guards that were leaving the crusade grounds to come pick up my wife and I. And as the front car, as it was leaving the grounds, ran over a 4-year-old boy and completely ran over him. And the boy's body lay lifeless, you know, and he appeared dead. Well, the driver was arrested, and he was taken to jail. His car was impounded, and they took the boy's body to the hospital, or they took him to the hospital. And didn't seem to be any life. But after 30 minutes, miraculously, he opened his eyes and sat up. And they examined him, and no bones in his body was broken. So the driver was released from jail. He was at the crusade on the platform the next night with the parents of the boy and the boy, and holding him in his arms. But, The man said, "I've been a Hindu all of my life," and he said, "But I felt I had killed this boy, and my life was ruined. But you know, see the boy now." He said, "Now I know Jesus is God." So that had a massive impact, and the response. I preached Jesus very plainly, very strong, that He's the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. And the response was just phenomenal. In fact, we have a DVD, if anybody would be interested in the DVD of the India Crusade. You can contact me at combineharvesting.com, and there's a photo of it on our website, laurendavis.com.
Well, it's wonderful to know that really people are coming to know the Lord throughout the world. And certainly we spend a lot of our time here talking about all the things that are happening politically and certainly economically. But we have to also recognize that there is this spiritual battle going on. And thank goodness we have people like you who are out there around the world risking their lives. Certainly it's not safe in Africa. It's certainly not that safe over in India because there's a tremendous animosity towards Christianity. But there is this hatred of Christianity throughout the world, and yet you're bringing God's word, and I'm sure many of the people there, their lives will be transformed forever.
Oh, yes, and some of our crusades in Africa are so large. It's just incredible, the people crying out to the Lord and the Lord healing people and saving them, and also some photos of our crusades in Africa, as well as the churches we're building there is on our website. But it's great to give your life to the Lord. Jesus is the answer for the world, and he's the answer for America. But, you know, my concern for our country, and I love America, but it appears to me, Dr. Stan, that as a whole, America has become a pagan nation because our children in the public educational institution, they're educated to believe in atheism. They're educated to believe there's no God against Jesus Christ. They're educated not to believe the Bible. The Ten Commandments are not allowed in our schools. They've taken them out of our courthouses. And you look at our entertainment industry. You know, you can have a television has 600-700 channels on there, and hardly anything is fit to watch because of the immorality of it. They're promoting homosexuality, adultery, thievery, cheating, every vile thing imaginable constantly. And so now, you know, this has become even the entertainment of the Christians as well as non-Christians. We are, just like in Babylon, you know, the pagan entertainment system, it has become our system, and we have become desensitized to it. So I think that's one reason in America as well as other countries that parents have lost control of their children. You know, it's and people, you know, and we look at America and compare it to Babylon and compare it to the Israelites of Jeremiah's day, and it seems like, you know, there's hardly any difference at all.
Well, I think the thing that we have to recognize is today it's illegal for you to spank your child. Now, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, but this is the law. We have no discipline in school. We have no discipline at home. Certainly, we teach our children that there is no God, that the Bible is wrong, that after all, science has verified that man evolved from some slime somewhere and somehow or other life developed. But we have a system where children are given situational ethics. They're told, well, you have to determine what's right and what's wrong, who will live, who will die. I mean, that is your decision. And we create a totally chaotic world, and then we wonder why our world is becoming increasingly chaotic. There has to be moral laws and moral rules. Down throughout all time, men have looked to God, whether it was a Christian God or another God, but man could not live without an authority over him guiding the course of his life. And unfortunately, we've taken that away from our children, and then we wonder why we have a lawless society.
Yes, and children threaten their parents, you know. You know, if you spank me, if you do anything, I'll have you arrested, and they can't. So, I mean, where is a nation where it has had laws like this? I have a 12-year-old grandson in the sixth grade, and he told me the other day, he said, Baboose, he calls me Baboose, says Babu in Swahili means grandpa, but he says Baboose, and I'm not going to mess with that. But he said, Baboose, he said, I was taught the other day in my school regarding the dating system, which, you know, is based on A.D. and B.C., you know, referring around the date of Christ's birth. They are now changed. He said they're teaching A.D. is now A.C.E. That means after common era. And B.C., is before Christ, is now changed to B.C.E., that is before common era. So he said they had a test with that on there. But he said, Baboose, he said, when it came to it, I put B.C. and not B.C.E., and he's a very brilliant young man. He said, that's the only one I got wrong. But he said, that's okay. It's time to fight. But what's happening in this country is Jesus Christ is trying to, you know, even the educational system to be totally expunged from the memories of our children. And even the dating system and everything else. And all gods are being put on the same plane. You know, everybody's saying, well, God bless America. But, you know, now it's come out in declaration, America is no longer a Christian country. It's an Islamic, Judeo-Christian. All gods are the same. And that is totally in defiance in the Ten Commandments when God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So systematically, this country has its fist in the face of Almighty God, and we wonder, you know, what in the world is going wrong. I would just like to bring this up. Is America under a curse? Is there, you know, all the things happening here. Look at the drug wars that are terrorizing our borders. Look at the murderous gangs that are filling our cities and making them so dangerous. Racial tension is reviving, dividing and weakening us again. Our mental wards are packed out. Our prisons, we can't build them fast enough. So much suicide, even disease is getting worse and worse with all of our medical science. Is America under a curse? Look at the, consider the Vietnam War. And actually, you know, this immorality move in America, the sexual revolution, it was brought in, you know, through the hippie movement in the 60s and 70s, and it was fueled by the Beatles, by Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, Joan Baez, Jimi Hendrix, the Woodstocks, all of them promoting the sexual revolution, rejection of the Ten Commandments. They were promoting Eastern religions and open blasphemy against God. They brought in the drug culture, LSD, and it seems in this country, in so many places, this the most decadent, immoral people are the ones who are made idols that people, you know, look to. We go to Las Vegas, Sin City, and casinos for our entertainment. So many people are involved in drinking today, despised. I mean, it's just common now. You get it at the grocery store, at the corner store, despite how many lives have been lost in accidents because of drinking, homes that have been destroyed by it, pornography is filling TV, internet, magazines, casual sex is common on dates as if it were nothing, sexual perversion is common, divorce has been tearing our families to pieces for decades, it's ruined so many lives and scarred children, adultery, fornication, perversion, thievery, murder, witchcraft, sorcery, these are the main themes of our TV programs and movies. Witchcraft. Okay, one of the things God commanded not to get involved with was witchcraft and sorcery, yet Harry Potter, which promotes sorcery and witchcraft, I think it sold 400 million books. 400 million books. Plus the movies. And then you have cartoons. The main themes are sorcery and witchcraft. And then Disneyland. You know that the main theme of Disneyland is the Magic Kingdom. It's witchcraft. It's sorcery. It's all of these things. So America as a nation is now openly opposing the God of the Bible. It's opposing Jesus Christ because you can speak about, you know, any of these other religions in school, but you can't talk about Jesus. You can't talk about the Bible. He has been totally expunged from our educational system. And so the nation as a whole has lost the fear of God. Morally, America has become like Sodom and Gomorrah.
But it didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent. No. It was during this, the Vietnam War, and the Vietnam War was never fought to win. We were not allowed to hit any of the major targets over there. We weren't allowed to do anything in North Vietnam like bombing the dikes or bombing the electric plants. They wanted the war to go on. Great diversion. Why? Because the Supreme Court changed the function of structure of our society. At one time, we could control perversion at the state and local level. Oh, but the Masons on the United States Supreme Court, and they controlled the court from 41 to 71. They took God and prayer out of our schools, but they also centralized power in Washington, D.C., so that the local communities could not control perversion, could not control homosexuality. And then the great foundations, of course, financed this whole idea of bringing sex education into our schools, because occasionally a girl would get pregnant, and when I went to high school with several thousand students there, you know, probably a thousand students in my class, maybe they're two or three pregnant. Now, in some classes across America, half the girls are pregnant, or a third of them are pregnant by the time they're graduating from high school. And sex education was done intentionally and purposely to break down the morality of our society, and working with the people in Hollywood, they intentionally change little bit the mores of our society. And you watch television today, and people are jumping in and out of bed with different people all the time, that is perfectly acceptable. And this is done intentionally, not by accident. There is an organized effort to destroy the soul of America. I agree with you, but it didn't happen by accident.
No, this, and also that hippie movement, you know, with the Beatles and those others, I mean, that is one of the things that spawned, you know, to bring it in. But it was going parallel with what was happening with the government and the laws, too. But are we under a curse? Look at the Gulf oil spill. You know, that thing looks apocalyptic. There were estimates that, you know, there's been as high as 2.5 million gallons of oil spewing every day into the Gulf. And a lot of gases are in it that are toxic, and they said this could go on for months. So, you know, and with all of our technology, they can't get a handle on it. But, Dr. Stan, this reminds me what's happening in the Gulf right now of what the book of Revelation prophesies is going to happen in the Great Tribulation. In Revelation 8, verse 8 to 9, it says, a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which are in the sea died. And they show, you know, pictures of you know, these fish and birds dying of this. So, you know, this is coming. And we know the Great Tribulation. I mean, you know, we get thinking we have a timetable and, you know, on the end time eschatology. But, you know, boy, you get looking at what's happening in the Gulf, and you say, man, has this thing started? But, you know, looking, you know, is America under curse? Look at the Nashville flood. It was 1 in 1,000 years flood that we had back there that nearly wiped out Nashville. I couldn't believe it. The Arkansas is hit by killer floods that killed all those people. And then Hurricane Katrina and Rita virtually destroyed New Orleans and Biloxi and a lot of those along the coast. And also Hurricane Ike, you know, a lot of Galveston was under 12 feet of water. But in this area, New Orleans and that whole Gulf Coast down there, so much of their income, their economics there is made off of, you know, sand, just promoting, you know, casinos, promoting every kind of vice and things imaginable. And a lot of that, you know, today's Christianity, well, people say, well, you know, God is good all the time, there's no judgment of God, but, you know, you just need to read the Bible. He said that if you do these things I command you, all these blessings will come upon you. If you don't, all these curses will come upon you. Look at the unprecedented bailouts that we're having in this country. The banks trying to keep, you know, a Great Depression from happening. Like you mentioned, taking over the auto industries, the national debt. What is that, $14 trillion, something like that? And millions and millions of people are jobless, and, you know, 10%, some said the real figure could be 17%. Well, that's catastrophic.
Hold that thought.
A friend of mine living in L.A. Told me that there's a million homeless living on the streets in L.A. That was what he told me.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Lauren Davis. Well, Lauren, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right. Well, one other thing I'd like to say, America has turned against Israel. And Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3 says, God says, I will bless.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Suffering, but look and see what's going on in America today. Watch our television. Notice, of course, that the President of the United States, President Obama, was willing to celebrate Gay and Lesbian Day in the White House. But, of course, when it came to the National Day of Prayer, he wanted to cancel it. If you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, in the section there under other videos, the one about where you can see President Obama talking about my Muslim faith. My Muslim faith. Those were his words. And you have to understand that he bows down before the king of Saudi Arabia, which an American president would never do. So why is President Obama subservient to the king of Saudi Arabia? Well, you need to read my newsletters, certainly, and you'll find out that President Obama has told the leaders of other nations that he himself is a Muslim. But, of course, he can't admit that here in the United States. Read my newsletters. I believe it's the two newsletters we did dealing with my interview with Avi Lifkin. Read the interview, watch the DVDs, and then understand why God may be very displeased with America. As you know, we are firmly convinced, and I hope and pray we're wrong. But everything points to the fact that we're going to be at war with Iran in the not-too-distant future. How many people will die unnecessarily in that war, as they died unnecessarily in the Iraqi war, because, oh, shucks, we thought they had weapons of mass destruction, and we found they were wrong, and, oh, shucks, it was just a mistake, and a million people died? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a war crime. And, of course, when you start a war, this was not, we were not attacked by Iraq. There was no reason to go into Iraq, other than the fact that there is a master plan out there, and it's being followed step by step by step. And, of course, the next step, I believe, is going to go into Iran, and I just hope and pray that I'm wrong. But get yourself prepared fiscally, financially, but most of all spiritually. And make sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord. If you'd like to see some wonderful DVDs, we have them. One is called God of Wonders. And it just talks about all the wonderful things in nature. And then, of course, very subtly at the end, it brings in the fact that, these wonderful things we see in nature were put there by God, who does have a plan for nature, and he has a plan for mankind. It's a very well-done DVD, God of Wonders. We really recommend this for you. And then the 10 DVD set, The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. If you haven't seen it, you need to get it. He has a lot of great DVDs, and he has a lot of great video clips that he inserts there to make the points. But even more than that, of course, you need to know all the prophecies. And he has a book called The Final Countdown. You can get that with or without the 10 DVD set, part one or part two. But he ends each one of his presentations with a personal invitation to come to know the Lord. And I think everyone, if you know the Lord, fine. If you don't, you ought to at least consider the claims of Christianity. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get the DVD we have, Constance Cumby talking about the emergence. We have Chris Pinto talking about on a DVD, these are talks that were given at our annual conference, about the Atlantis connection. And what people must understand is that there really are people in the world who believe that America is the new Atlantis and will lead the world to this wonderful new utopian society, similar to the one that existed in ancient Atlantis, the one that was destroyed by a great flood because it was so evil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, The New Atlantis by Chris Pinto, all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Don't forget our October 17th all-day conference here, a Radio Liberty conference in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. You'll have to call and get reservations. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, because we're involved in a spiritual battle. And lastly, please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who used to be the senior editor of the New American Magazine. And now, of course, he is has his own blog, has his own radio program on the weekend. And certainly, if you don't listen to William, why, you're missing something. He's certainly one of the most brilliant people we have, keeping us up to date on so many of the issues that are taking place. And you'll find his articles very, very frequently quoted at LouRockwell.com, at newswithviews.com, worldaffairsbrief.com. Certainly he is recognized, I think, across the country as one of the more astute minds that we have out there on our side, trying to clarify what the issues are. So without further ado, let's go to William Grigg. Hi, William. How are you tonight?
And I'm doing well. Thanks again for having me as a guest on your program.
Well, it's always good to have you. And what are we going to be talking about this evening?
I think we're going to have to talk a little bit more about a depressing but unavoidable topic, and that is the Carthaginian destruction of our middle-class economy. And we hot on the tails of the G20 summit in Toronto, which was police state pageantry at its most vacuous and pointless. And the thing that I find most remarkable about this, and this is something that many people have commented on, but it, I think bears repetition, is the fact that you had the European contingent, primarily Merkel from Germany, talking about the need for austerity, and the American contingent, led by Obama, talking about the supposed need for Keynesian stimulus. And we've been barraged now over the last 5 or 6 days with unambiguous warnings from people who are credentialed insider establishmentarian folks, Paul Krugman among them, that we're not seeing a double dip, we're not seeing a recovery. What we're seeing is that the economy is in free fall and is yet to hit bottom. Krugman has actually used the D word, depression, to describe what's underway right now. And when something is so obvious, so glaringly obvious that even Paul Krugman understands and recognizes what's going on, we know that we're in deep, deep trouble, because Mr. Krugman has been a Leibnizian positivist in terms of trying to tell everybody that this is the best of all possible worlds, what's going on in our economy with the government spending literally trillions of dollars that it doesn't have and that the Federal Reserve has to conjure out of the ether, that this is what has to be done in order to rescue the economy. And he's saying that this isn't working and that the bucket's coming up empty. That being said, I think that the most important thing we can do is look at the ways that our own robber elite, our own criminal oligarchy, what the Soviets called the nomenklatura, is doing the same kind of things that the Soviet communist nomenklatura did when their empire imploded back in the late 80s and early 1990s. This is a theme that we've talked about before, but it's really important to get into some of the mechanics of this huge enterprise in political larceny, just by way of letting people know what's going on so that they can try to avoid some of the obvious pitfalls. If your listeners go to LouRockwell.com and look at Friday's edition, I believe the Saturday edition is already up. If it isn't up yet, it doesn't look like it is, it will be up within a couple of minutes. They usually go online at about 9 o'clock California time or 10 o'clock my time with the following day's edition for every day except for Sunday. The fourth article down from the top is an essay I wrote dealing with this unambiguous criminal state that rules us right now and the way that it is almost impossible for somebody who is charged with some of these obscure...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, William, go right ahead. You were saying somebody who is a plagued with this obscure what now?
Yeah, these obscure federal banking regulations, who has done nothing wrong, nothing criminal, to elude some kind of punishment, no matter how innocuous his behavior might be. But there is literally nothing that the criminal class on Wall Street can do by way of deliberate fraud or deliberate persistent conscious theft and malfeasance, nothing that people who are politically connected to Wall Street can do that will end up meriting some kind of punitive sanction. In other words, there basically is a situation where there are two classes of people. There are those whom the law doesn't protect and those whom the law doesn't restrain. That's what Paul Craig Roberts likes to say. But there are those who are too big to fail, and there are those, the rest of us, who are too small to be permitted to succeed. And the juxtaposition that I offer in this essay, which is entitled Clemency for Wall Street Criminals, Prison for the Powerless, that deals with the case of Johnny Gaskins from Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, not many people have heard of Johnny Gaskins. I hadn't heard of him before several months ago. I think it would have been October or November of last year when Dr. William Anderson, who's an economist from Maryland and he's an adjunct scholar with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, wrote an essay about his case. He's a criminal defense lawyer from Raleigh, North Carolina, not a particularly notable one, even in that very small pond. He's one of the less conspicuous minnows in that small pond. But he's made a living, and a fairly handsome one, by defending people who are the outliers in the criminal justice system. He's rendering a legitimate public service as an officer of the bar by defending those who are accused of crime. Most of them have something to do with narcotics. That's simply the way that the system is structured right now, is that most of the business of the criminal justice system has to do with petty drug users and small market, down market dealers. And most of his business was conducted in cash because the type of people he was representing generally don't have bank accounts for reasons that Gaskins would come to understand and sympathize with. He secreted his earnings in a safe at his house. And while he was having remodeling work done on his house, he noticed that there was a series of muddy footprints leading up to the wall safe, which he thought was a secret. And so worried that somebody was going to break open his wall safe and steal his earnings, with great reluctance, Gaskins went to a local branch of a bank where he had a business account and started depositing his earnings a little bit at a time. Now, we're dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars that he had earned over a 25-year career. And so he deposited his earnings bit by bit in increments of less than $10,000 because deposits over $10,000 under the Bank Secrecy Act of 1970 have to be reported to the IRS. Now, it's important to point out...
Hold that thought here, and of course, William is talking about a case somewhere in the South where a gentleman was a defense attorney and worked with a lot of disreputable people and certainly was paid by them for his defense work. But he had a good deal of cash he'd accumulated over a period of years. Apparently, at least according to the article I read, he had paid his income tax on this money. He just didn't put it in the bank because he didn't trust banks. And then, of course, something happened as far as some repair work at his home. He thought perhaps the money he was keeping there wouldn't be safe. So he began depositing this in the banks in increments less than $10,000. Now, if you do that, that is known as structuring. If you mm-hmm. deposit over $10,000, the bank by law is forced to report you to the government. In fact, if you were to take a large sum of money from your bank account and you were to wire it to another bank, your bank would report you. And, of course, yeah. They cannot tell you. They would go to prison if they were to tell you that they reported you, but they're required by law to report you. However, if you deposit less than $10,000, they also will report
exactly.
you because they will report you if you deposit more than $10,000 because you might be laundering drug money. If you report deposit less than $10,000, you could be so-called structuring, which means you're trying to avoid being reported to the government. So this is apparently what this gentleman did. Mm-hmm. The money was legal. It was his. It paid taxes on it. You pick up the story.
Exactly. Paid taxes on it, and he'd reported his income to the IRS, every penny of it. And so he was structuring money, but he was not doing so for the purpose of maintaining the opacity of his financial dealings, which, incidentally, in a free society, would be a de minimis requirement for doing financial transactions. If you were anything like a reasonably free society like Switzerland, which is freer than we are for all of its imperfections, you wouldn't have to be dealing with this because it would be understood that that money is yours and it's none of the government's business, quite frankly. But in this quasi-totalitarian society that we've become, you're reported if you deposit more than $10,000 at a time. And as you point out, that's something that cannot be disclosed to you, but can only be disclosed to our masters in Washington. And you're reported if you deposit several amounts less than $10,000. So either way, your transactions are completely transparent to the federal government. In this case, Mr. Gaskins was structuring money to accomplish an innocuous end. He simply wanted to avoid certain entanglements and certain risks that came from depositing that much money at one fell swoop. And one of his big concerns, and this, of course, is essentially what happened to him anyway, was the possibility that if he deposited a large amount of money and it came to the knowledge of the local federal prosecutors, because he had made life miserable for the prosecutors by actually putting up a defense for many of the people they were throwing in prison, He, for instance, had made enemies out of the local prosecutors and the local police hierarchy because it exposed police corruption. He might be framed for doing something by way of a financial transaction with a drug nexus. And so he was doing what he did as a self-defense measure, a self-preservation measure, but availed him nothing because those transactions were reported, and in spite of the fact that there was not a predicate offense, there was no crime anterior to the deposits from which the deposits were the proceeds, and that's something supposedly required by the Bank Secrecy Act, Gaskins ended up being tried, prosecuted, convicted of money structuring, and he faces 30 years in prison for the supposed offense of depositing his legitimately earned money on which he paid taxes in a bank account, and doing so in a way that was above board and had absolutely no criminal subtext or criminal intent. But you don't have to have criminal intent in order to be considered a felon. I mean, as it's been pointed out by Harvey Silverglate in his book of this title, each of us probably commits 3 federal felonies a day. At any time, any one of us can be prosecuted for any of the harmless things that we do that are not an offense against life, liberty, property, or even decent public order because of the way that the federal laws are structured. We literally exercise whatever badly degenerated liberties that we still retain by the grace of the state that rules us. It's a little, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating once again, it's a little like the situation with the law of Moses in ancient Israel. The reason why the law was given to ancient Israel was to impress upon the minds of those living under the law that it's impossible to be righteous as measured by the law. We violate the law every single day practically with everything we do. That's God's standard of righteousness. The Christian message is that God's standard of righteousness was consummated in the person of Christ. Well, in this case, we've got a state that claims divinity and is run by people who consider themselves to be divine, and they've wrapped us in such an all-encompassing cocoon of regulations and enactments that we simply cannot in any way live life in some simulacrum of freedom without violating at least 3 federal statutes every day. So any of us at any time could end up being treated like Johnny Gaskins. But that's only half of the story. The fact that this happened in North Carolina is something that was brought to my memory as we saw some disclosures this week, tardy disclosures, over a deal that had been struck with Wachovia last March by federal prosecutors in that same state of North Carolina, Wachovia, until it was consumed by Wells Fargo back in 2008 in a federally engineered merger that was subsidized by the taxpayers and brought about because Wachovia, like so many other large banks, investment banks, was sitting on a moldering pile of completely useless, rotting debts. Before it was absorbed, it was headquartered in North Carolina. And you have the same federal prosecutor corps, basically, that presided over or been in some way involved in sending Mr. Gaskins to prison. I don't think he's been sent to prison yet. I think his sentencing is still pending. But in any case, railroading him through a kangaroo court and convicting him on spurious charges of money structuring. But the same federal prosecutors exceeded previous records in sycophancy and badly misplaced clemency by granting Wachovia concessionary terms in a plea bargain agreement this past March, when it was disclosed that they had been laundering a sum of probably $300 billion, that's $300 billion with a B, for Mexican narcotics syndicates since at least 2005 and probably further back than that. $300 billion they're required to pay a criminal forfeiture of $110 million, which is just a farthing compared to what we can document they laundered, and then a fine of $50 million, which, of course, is going to come out of the taxpayers' pockets. They're given tens of billions of dollars by the taxpayers by way of this merger that was arranged with Wells Fargo. That money, of course, is fungible, the TARP money that was used to bring about this merger. So we're basically paying the penalty here, and the people running Wachovia, rather than facing criminal prosecution, simply you're having the taxpayers indemnify their penalty, which was a trivial penalty to begin with as far as they were concerned. It's not so trivial when you're talking about the fact that we're on the hook for it. And they're going to be left unmolested in exchange for promises of future good behavior. Johnny Gaskins wasn't given that kind of a deal, and bear in mind, he wasn't laundering money for anybody. He was simply depositing his honestly earned and taxable income that he had duly reported as a dutiful tax slave, tax victim. He reported that income to the IRS. He wasn't allowed to forfeit a percentage that would be pennies on the dollar of that money and then make a promise of good faith. They went after him hammer and tongs, and they went after Wachovia for the purpose of just simply moving this embarrassment off of the headlines and getting it below the fold of the newspapers. But Wachovia, I happen to think, it was the fourth largest bank, or the self-described fourth largest bank until its merger with Wells Fargo. I think that you have to look at it as a criminal enterprise, certainly for the purposes of the RICO statute, the Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organization statute, which, by the way, if I remember correctly, was passed the same year as the Bank Secrecy Act, which was violated by admission in the plea agreement. Wachovia violated that same Bank Secrecy Act that Johnny Gaskins now is going to be the reason why he sent to prison. That the RICO Act was passed in 1970. The idea is that if you can show a material act of crime that is being carried out by an organization, it's a conscious, culpable criminal act, then you can charge as every element of that organization's labors and activities as a separate element of the crime. And so you've got this huge investment bank that was involved in this immense money laundering operation for Mexican criminal syndicates, while at the same time they were also conducting really nasty, vicious business with people who were running telemarketing frauds. And that was a separate issue that was resolved a couple of years ago. They ended up paying a fine of, I think, about $110 million. That seems to be sort of the standard amount here. We'll ding you $110 million, which is just basically what you can find rummaging around in your upholstery if you're the people running Wachovia. And, of course, you have your hand in the taxpayers' pockets as well. But back in February 2008, according to the New York Times, Wachovia's corporate leadership solicited businesses, it was revealed that it had solicited business from companies it knew to be involved in telemarketing schemes. Internal Wachovia email messages, for example, show that high-ranking employees frequently warned colleagues about telemarketing frauds routed through its accounts. Wachovia had been given specific warnings from investigators and also from other banks with which they were doing business regarding these scams, yet, as the Times reports, they continued to provide banking services to multiple companies that helped steal as much as $400 million from unsuspecting victims. There was a federal civil lawsuit, a class action suit that was filed against Wachovia that accused the bank of accepting fraudulent unsigned checks that withdrew funds from the accounts of victims, often the elderly. It forwarded those checks to other banks that were unaware of the frauds, which in turn sent the money on to the swindlers. They were being a pass-through in this huge fraud that swindled hundreds of millions of dollars from people, and they didn't face any criminal penalty for what they did.
Well, unfortunately, we live in a wicked society that has no basis at all in justice. It's who you know, if you know the right people, you get off. And if you don't know the right people or they target you, they'll make your life miserable. And when you take God out of a nation, when you take morality out of a nation, a sense of right or wrong, why should we be surprised when these things are happening? And no nation can survive for long if this persists. William, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Percentage of the take, and but the federal government also knew about this criminal activity on the part of Wachovia and did absolutely nothing about it. In fact, when Wachovia got in some financial problems, why, the federal government bailed them out with our tax money, and all of the criminal activity carried out by the Wachovia employees was simply totally forgotten, and they got off scot-free. Whereas some poor guy who's simply makes the mistake of taxing, depositing money less than $10,000 at a time because he doesn't want to draw attention to himself because of the Internal Revenue Service, why he is going to be sent to jail for 30 years. And what was his crime? Well, he should have just put all the money in at one time and hope he'd get without drawing attention to himself. And yet the money was legal. It had been paid taxes on. It was simply because he made the mistake of keeping his money at a bank at a safe at home rather than putting it in the bank initially. But go right ahead.
It's too bad he couldn't have found some other arrangement, maybe involving a numbered account in Switzerland or some other country where there is a modicum of freedom and a certain proper respect for the secrecy and sanctity of one's legitimately earned wealth. That's not the case here in this corporate socialist fascist monstrosity that America has become. Wachovia, as I mentioned before, was forced to sign an agreement, a plea agreement in March, having to do with laundering an estimated $300 billion or more of money for narcotics cartels in Mexico. And, of course, this is going on at the same time the federal government was pumping billions of dollars into Mexico through the Merida Initiative, supposedly to fight the scourge of Mexican narcotics trafficking. What that amounts to is a roundabout subsidy for the same narcotics cartels, because they're run by the government. There is strict and almost in detail absolute identity between the Mexican government and the Mexican underworld. It's the most remarkably pure example of what Augustine talks about in the City of God. I believe it's Book 4, Chapter 4 of the City of God, where St. Augustine talked about the fact that the way that a government historically has been created is that a band of robbers attains sovereignty over a piece of territory, and that the transition from being a robber band to being a government takes place not when they repudiate violence, but rather when they establish impunity. They can no longer be punished for their violence. They can no longer face accountability when they steal from people, or they threaten people, or they kill people. That's the difference between a common robber band and a government, according to Augustine. Well, in Mexico, you got a perfect example of that, because the robbers are the government. There is no daylight between the two of them. So when the federal government sends billions of dollars into Mexico to fight narcotics, you got to figure that probably something on the high end of half of that is going to end up in the hands of the same narcotics cartels, or in the hands of people who are cheek-by-jowl allies of the narcotics cartels. At the same time, you got Wachovia laundering the money. Now, what happened is that there are these currency exchange institutions called Casas de Cambio, or CDCs. Their currency exchanges run without scrutiny or oversight by the Mexican government. When I was in Mexico, I used to go to the Casas de Cambio because you could get a better exchange rate for your dollars in terms of the difference between the dollars and the pesos when you're in Mexico. I wasn't crazy enough at the time, and granted, this is 25 years ago or more, I wasn't crazy enough at the time to go to CDCs that were run by people who were obviously in the pockets of the drug gangs, but you'd go to one of these and you get a better rate than you would if you went to a bank. The Casas de Cambio also have another advantage in that they're opaque. Their dealings are not transparent. But this is complicated because they don't really have a working relationship with many reputable banks in the United States. But Wachovia was one that was willing to give them some help. These Casas de Cambio would set up what were called complementary accounts, particularly in Miami. There were a number of Wachovia accounts in Miami that were being used by these Mexican CDCs, these Casas de Cambio. And the money would be sent through Wachovia, be cleaned, pressed, and folded, and then used to buy drugs wholesale or to buy jets to carry the drugs into the United to ferry the drugs into the United States. And they did this to the tune of at least $300 billion, probably something on the high end of $500 billion to be a better estimate. And they're getting not merely a slap on the wrist, they're getting the lightest of all possible slaps on the wrist for this, while people like Johnny Gaskins go to prison.
Are you suggesting that there's some inequality in the court program? Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with William Greig. But ladies and gentlemen, we have lost our moral foundation in this country. We have simply just torn the very heart out of what was once a great Christian nation. And can this nation long survive when we have immorality at every level of government and the court system? Well, William, you go right ahead.
You make, of course, the most important point here, which is that this whole situation we're describing here, this unambiguous and brazen lack of equity and this system-wide full-spectrum injustice where you have people like Johnny Gaskins going to prison for doing nothing and criminals of the sort running Wachovia who are being embraced and cosseted by the establishment, that does reflect the complete breakdown of our moral values and the fact that we're not living according to the two great commandments, the golden rule, and people are content to believe that really there is no restraint on people apart from power. I mean, whether you have power or not, this is Lenin's equation. The key equation is who does what to whom. You want to be the who rather than the whom. Whether or not you have power is the deciding question in terms of whether you're going to have your backside kissed or you're going to get stabbed in the back. It's that blunt, it's that obvious, and it's that evil. And it's not getting better anytime soon. One of the things I'm hoping is that as the system collapses, and it is collapsing in real time right now, and when Paul Krugman and his ilk admitted, we know that that's true, that this is a correction that will bring about the moral renaissance of our country. I mean, they don't call it a correction for nothing, as Lou Rockwell likes to say. One of the things that happens, of course, when you have a boom is it's completely propelled by fraud. People are inured to taking advantage of each other and living at the expense of others rather than doing equity. I'm hoping that one of the benefits that will come out of the tragedy that's beginning to descend on us is that we'll recover, we'll restore just this fundamental understanding of the golden rule. You know, you will do unto others as you wish to be done to. And that's, of course, the most important recovery that we have in order for our economy to recover, in order for our politics to be restored to some kind of a moral footing. It all starts with the question of recognizing the reciprocal nature of rights, that your rights exist in exactly the same way that everybody else's does, and that everybody else's is valued by his creator as you are. And for that record, for that reason, the only protection you have for what you wish to do with your rights, your life, your property that you're given, is to protect on a reciprocal basis the rights of others. I'm hoping that's going to happen. Maybe it won't happen nationwide. Maybe it'll happen in little isolated pockets of our country. But
hold that thought, William. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Man, this is Dr. Stan. William is just saying that we are moving into terrible times. Our whole economic system is collapsing, and even Paul Krugman, who has been an optimist up until the present time, has said within this last week, we're heading into a deflationary depression, which of course is a terrible situation, and of course it means that the whole economic system begins to implode. Now, William makes the point, you know, that on the other end of this, this may be a great and wonderful thing that we may be able then to have a renaissance of freedom and idealism coming out of the far end of this terrible period we're moving into. And there really are two alternatives. One is that there will be a renaissance of freedom, or the other will be that freedom as we know it will simply become a remembrance of things past, a remembrance of things past, and we will be living in a terrible and brutal tyranny. And really, I believe the solution to the problem, of course, is a return to God, a renaissance in our religious beliefs. Only then will God bless this nation. Otherwise, he is going to destroy this nation, and America, as we know it, will cease to exist. Well, before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your blog site, how they can hear your radio program, and how they can find that PayPal button, which will help keep you here on the Radio Liberty on a regular basis. Go right ahead.
I appreciate that. My blog, Pro Libertate, is at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or just go to Google and type in Grig and Pro Libertate. That should be the first result, or at least one of the first several results that will be coughed up by Google. freedominourtime.blogspot.com or Grig and Pro Libertate, LIBERTATE. The radio program is also called Pro Libertate, Pro Libertate Radio. It's broadcast every Saturday night from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock Mountain Time, which is the time zone where I live, or 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock California time, on the Liberty News Radio Network. LibertyNewsRadio.com is the website, the homepage for Liberty News Radio, LibertyNewsRadio.com. If you go to LibertyNewsRadio.com, your listeners will be able to find a list of local affiliates. We are on a number of stations scattered across the country, and I do believe that the radio network is still growing. And also the program is available by way of live streaming. If you have capacity to listen to something on your computer, you're going to find a streaming program, an option on the Liberty News Radio website that will be suitable, because there are probably a dozen or so options. And also the programs are archived. You can download them as podcasts, LibertyNewsRadio.com. You'd mentioned, Dr. Stan, that I do have a PayPal button for those who have access to PayPal or those who have credit card, debit card, and have the means and interest of donating. It is found at the bottom of every essay at Pro Libertate. That's once again freedominourtime.blogspot.com or Grig plus Pro Libertate at Google. and that is located once again at the bottom of every essay, and that is, as you point out, the way that I'm supporting myself, my family, and what I do as a freelance journalist. And it's been a real blessing that I've been able to talk to you and talk to your audience, because many people in your audience have been extremely generous to us, and that's something that I'll always be grateful for, is the wonderful generosity of your terrific audience. So once again, that's the bottom of every essay at Pro Libertate, the blog, freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
And I would just mention that things have been a little tight recently, I think, for many ministries, but we want to keep William here. He's doing a wonderful job. He's got a lot of responsibilities with six children or so, and if you can possibly help him, why, we would encourage you to do that. We believe very much in what he's doing. We think he's doing a wonderful job. We think he's one of the most articulate spokesmen we have for the cause of freedom, and so let's get back to the current situation that America is facing, as you give us the cheerful proposition that we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. But I think people have to understand that. I think that people have to understand that you can't spend yourself into prosperity, that the whole economy of the United States is beginning to implode, the economy of China is beginning to implode. They've had a 25% drop in their stock market over the last couple of months. They've got 30 million people unemployed. Their banking system is having very real problems, because they've got all these loans that will never be paid back. And similarly, problems are occurring over in Europe, certainly in Southern Europe. We have only to watch the Baltic Dry Index. That is the index, yeah, certainly of shipping and the cost of shipping. And it is plummeting. Why? Because there's very little shipping going on between nations, because trade is beginning to implode. And, of course, this will have a profound impact here in America, despite what President Obama says, is that things are getting better. Go right ahead.
It's really an interesting thing when you see people describing what amounts to an economic autoimmune disease and its symptoms as signs of health and recovery. And that's exactly what we're talking about right now. When we have an economy that doesn't produce anything, you can't be wealthy unless you produce. You have to produce something that other people want and other people are willing to pay for, whether you're talking about offering a product that is the end result of your applied labor mixed with property, or that you're talking about rendering a service that other people feel desirable. Only by providing these things can you actually earn money and in that way help an economy to grow. Just a couple of days ago, I had a conversation with somebody I love dearly. I just think the world of this person. I honestly would be hard-pressed to find somebody for whom I have greater respect and affection. And what he said to me was, this economy isn't going to get any better until they start instituting programs that put people back to work. And I had to stop for a second, and after stepping on my tongue and retracting my tongue back to my mouth so I could speak, I said, well, you see, that's exactly why we're in the mess we're in right now, is the assumption that somehow government can transmute debt into wealth by simply ordaining that people go to work, and it can somehow create wealth out of the ether, it can somehow create money and capital out of the ether, and that the origin of wealth is when you mix force and fraud with stolen property, and that somehow that's going to result in wealth. I said, the problem isn't that government isn't creating programs to put people back to work. The problem is that government's destroying the productive economy, productive capacity of our economy, in order to take political control over the means of production. And that's not something that is amenable to the remedy you're describing here. You're talking about essentially trying to cure cancer by giving somebody AIDS on top of the cancer. But every time we take a look at the incomplete and deliberately misleading statistics and indices that the government publishes about the economy, we see the same trend line. We see that the private sector, what remains of it, is shedding jobs, and that the government sector is creating jobs that don't create wealth. And there's a terrific piece, and by terrific I mean terrifying, at theexaminer.com, the Washington Examiner, by Timothy P. Carey, that talks about a visit by Vice President Biden to a General Electric factory in Kentucky. Mr. Biden he's really a useful and worthwhile individual in that he says things that are so staggeringly stupid that they force you to pay attention to the assumptions that produce the stupidity in question. I mean, he's perpetually speaking, and he's saying foolish things, but if you grab the foolishness and you sort of trace it back to its origin, you can see just how wrong-headed and how deeply embedded these assumptions are. This is what Mr. Biden told this crowd at the General Electric factory in Louisville, Appliance Park in Louisville. So those who talk about this is big government giving a little help, a little bit of help to jumpstart America, to lead the world in the 21st century, Timothy B. Carney, comments as follows. Biden was at GE's Appliance Park in Louisville, where a raft of government subsidies and probably some gentle urging from the White House has spurred the multinational conglomerate to begin manufacturing hybrid electric water heaters, part of the new foundation for the new economy, Biden said. But later this month, 75 miles east, workers at GE's Kentucky Glass plant get to see the other side of big government. About 175 workers there make glass, which is shipped to the Winchester Bulb plant. Winchester Bulb is being shut down in September, and so the Lexington Glass plant will be shuttered in late July. GE explained in a press release late last year, quote, a variety of energy regulations that establish lighting efficiency standards are being implemented in the U.S. and other countries, in some cases this year, and will soon make the familiar lighting products produced at the Winchester plant obsolete. These were green regulations that then-Senator Obama supported in the 2007 energy bill, as did GE. GE, incidentally, is not a free market company. It is completely wedded to the military-industrial complex. Like too many corporations, it's run by people who are representatives of what Adam Smith called the band of system. That's a personality who prospers by cozying up to political power rather than going out and making his fortune actually in the private sector. To continue, GE, the company you see, makes more profit off the more efficient compact fluorescent bulbs because the company can charge more, but also because it makes those bulbs in China with cheaper labor costs and fewer environmental regulations. So Obama and GE teamed up, pushed big government environmental regs and killed nearly 500 jobs in Lexington, Winchester, and another glass factory in Niles, Ohio. But don't worry, Obama's got an answer for these workers, too. Obama's Labor Department this spring declared the plant an adversely affected employer under the 1974 Trade Act. It's true, imports are replacing the bulbs Lexington workers used to make, but the culprit isn't free trade, it's the light bulb law. And these imports are GE's compact fluorescents, the ones made in China, remember. Back to Louisville, where Biden is touting the benefits of big government, the picture is far murkier. It's true, Congress and the administration have opened the spout of corporate welfare for GE in order to keep jobs in Louisville. $24.8 million in advanced manufacturing tax credits from the stimulus, plus up to $17 million in incentives from the state and metro government, according to a GE press release. These water heater jobs are largely replacing lost refrigerator jobs, which brings us back to big government, although Obama bears no blame in this one. In July 2000, the U.S. Export-Import Bank, now let me just stop here for a second and interpolate something necessary and germane here. The Export-Import Bank was created back during the New Deal for the specific original intention of underwriting trade with Soviet Russia in order to preserve that regime. That was why Export-Import was created. It has since branched out and has played a major role, and this is something I wrote about in my book about 6 years ago called America's Engineered Decline. It has played a major role in strip mining, the subsidized strip mining of our industrial economy. In July 2000, to continue with Carney's column here, the U.S. Export-Import Bank, a government agency, subsidized GE's construction of a factory complex in Celaya, Mexico. That complex makes GE refrigerators, fridges that used to be made in the United States. To be fair, the Ex-Im subsidy exported the jobs making high-end fridges, while Appliance Park made low-end fridges. So Ex-Im helped kill GE jobs in Bloomington, Indiana, rather than in Lexington. So big government policies are killing GE jobs that might thrive in the free market while creating GE jobs that never would survive in a free market. Obama is replacing unsubsidized jobs with subsidized jobs. Biden, back to that blatherskite, Biden calls this a new economy. Obama calls it remaking America. GE Chief Executive Officer Jeff Immelt calls this relationship capitalism reset. Immelt wrote to shareholders days after Obama's inauguration, quote, "The interaction between government and business will change forever. In a reset economy, the government will be a regulator and also an industry policy champion, a financier, and a key partner."
But, of course, the problem is this. When you're having to borrow $5 billion a day to be able to subsidize GE and maintain our wars, and you give out all this money to unemployed people who don't want to go to work, because why should they go to work and they get $1,200 a month simply for sitting on their rear ends, and then food stamps and free health care and all the other benefits you get when you're unemployed? You know, why would you bother to go to work? And so we have several million people getting unemployment insurance. But what happens when you run out of money? I mean, are we going to give it to the unemployed? Are we going to give it to General Electric and other people who are part of the establishment that put Obama in office? And then what about the money that we've been giving to the people in Uganda to provide medication for the people of AIDS over there? And what about the billions of dollars we're sending over to Iraq to build their electric plants? Of course, 6 years after the war, while you still only have electricity about 1 hour a day there in Baghdad, if you are lucky, but go right ahead. I mean, how long can we continue, rebuilding Afghanistan? How long can we continue rebuilding Iraq? And won't we have to rebuild Iran after we bombed it and destroyed many of their major cities? But go right ahead.
Well, one of the reasons why I talk so much about things like this Wachovia scandal is because these are the things that are being laid bare as the bubble bursts and the floodwaters of phony liquidity recede. They're actually being gathered up, of course, by these same banking institutions, and this is exactly what happened about a century ago in change that led to the revolution of 1913 and the revolution of 1917. It's interesting to see what's going to come out of this. But one of the reasons I'm talking about this is because it's important for people to understand exactly how they have gone about doing this, exactly what are, if you will, sort of the substructural deals that have been struck that have created this architecture of official criminality. And, of course, what Mr. Immelt at GE is talking about when he talks about government and business being in a partnership, he's talking about fascism. He's talking about what Lenin called the new economic policy, what Mussolini called the corporate state. FDR, of course, in his administration, took their blueprint for the first New Deal right out of the writings of Giovanni Gentile and the other chief architects of the fascist economy. And now, 70-some-odd years later, we're seeing under Obama the same thing, making a quantum leap forward, but he's building, just as importantly, on the work of his immediate predecessor. The thing is that the Republicans don't mind corporate socialism as long as you're building the military-industrial complex, the warfare half of the welfare-warfare state, and now you'd have to call it the welfare-warfare, homeland security, torture, a prison system, the welfare-warfare penological complex. And as long as you're building the coercive element of government, most Republican conservatives, I emphasize most, there are some worthwhile exceptions, don't have any problem with that, whereas, of course, the Obamatrons, people from that element, think that it's just wonderful that you use those elements of coercion, those instruments of coercion, in order to build what they call social justice, which, of course, entails the wholesale transfer of wealth from the productive into the hands of the parasitical, the unions, particularly government employee unions and such like. And this all, of course, once again, goes back to the constant theme that you reiterate, Dr. Stan, and that is that all this constitutes a cluster of symptoms of one fundamental disease, and that people are no longer governed by rudimentary morality. They no longer understand or respect the idea of the golden rule. They no longer understand or are bound by the idea of the two great commandments, the need to love your neighbor as yourself. These are things that we've lost, and we have to regain them in a hurry.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with William. William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Once again, thanks so much for this opportunity. It's a real blessing, and in spite of
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake. But a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 2 July 2010. It is Friday. Happy birthday, America. Seems hard to believe another year, and yes, there is less liberty. That's right. It's so, I don't know, it's so amazing to approach this time of the year when a lot of people are just happy to have a day off of work and consider it a party day or a barbecue day, when in reality, it's happy birthday, America. Another year. But unfortunately, the powers that be have a design that is not like ours. I think the lady who called in the other day, yesterday, said it very well. A sane mind cannot understand an insane mind. Think about that. A cruel mind could be substituted for an insane mind. In other words, people who love cannot understand cruelty. People who are honest and value truth cannot understand the need for a lie. That separates us from the other listeners to other radio shows who just listen for entertainment. We listen for value, for information, for knowledge, and for our lives. Where do we go from here? In this next hour, we're going to be talking to Matt Stein. Game Change or Game Over? That's right. He is the author of When Technology Fails. He's an MIT graduate,
in engineering, he has some interesting thoughts on what's happening in the Gulf as well as what's happening in the world. You know what this is causing us to do is to become more prepared, more knowledgeable, more fulfilled in our daily lives, and that's right. We are becoming more fulfilled every single day in enjoying every minute more. That is our choice. We can either enjoy it more, or we can be afraid, scared, upset, running in anxiety. I do not choose that. I choose to look at what is good and pure and real. Thank goodness we have gardens going right now. It kind of brings you back to reality, doesn't it? As well as what we're all about. And then the program we had on earthing, getting out, going barefoot in your yard. Just go barefoot in your yard. That's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. It's, you know, I love to twirl a baton. It's good exercise. And it's just something I've done for 40 years, is twirl a baton. It's really excellent exercise. Of course, as you throw that baton around your waist, those of you who twirl know that those batons shrink over a period of years. But you know, twirling with no shoes on, going out and walking with no shoes on, if you have an area where your children can go barefoot, let them do it. Be careful of parks, though. Be careful of parks because they put a lot of fertilizer and pesticide in their grasses. But those of you who have a garden, how blessed you are to be able to see literally the fruit of your work and the fruit of His work. How He has given us these little tiny seeds that have so much information in them, they turn into a great big fill in the blank. I'm loving the cabbages right now. Can hardly wait to make myself some sauerkraut. Anyway, in the news today, of course, immigration is something that we've not covered as much. We've been watching it on television, hearing about it over and over again. There is a problem at the border, and now they're separating 80 miles and saying, well, just don't go there then. No, that is our land. It is our country. And how dare you, President, take the side of the people that are breaking the law? That's what leads to all of this disconnect where people want to say, I don't get it. How can the President be saying, yeah, they shouldn't be supporting a law down there? Pick and choose your laws. And at the same time, I know European Times is saying the entire U.S. government knows that Obama is ineligible for office. We hear that Pensacola may want to just bring in new sand to put over the old sand. Hey, what a way to take care of that problem. We've got lots to talk about today and an announcement from Bill Malden, a special announcement at 7:30. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Power Hour.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KEROstove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly